Praise God. God is a good God. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to actually continue on with part three of my faith series. I've been hearing a lot of really good testimonies and people really enjoying it. And like I said, well, I guess it was 4 weeks ago because we had 1 week, we had a water baptism. But I said that I noticed by looking at my notes that most of the time that I taught on faith was on Wednesday nights, and I didn't do very much on Sunday mornings. And we decided to do the series, and especially since I've preached three times the last 4 weeks, so I don't get that opportunity that often. So for some of you that haven't been here, or maybe you've slept since the last 3 weeks or 4 weeks or whatever, going to review really fast. First of all, we started out in Romans 10:17. It says this: So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We all know that Brother Hagin always read it this way: faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's important for us to continually hear the word. The way we get our faith is we continually hear messages on faith over and over and over again, or we read the Bible, scriptures on faith over and over and over again. And if you're not receiving faith, it's maybe because you're not hearing faith. You know, and it's very important that we continue to speak faith. Then we went to Hebrews 11:1. The New King James says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Faith is always in the now. When faith comes in, you have it now. Hope is in the future tense. And a lot of people, they think they're in faith, but they're still in hope. If you're believing you're going to get your healing, you're not in faith, because we have already been given our healing. Jesus Christ took the stripes on his back, and by his stripes we were healed. If we were healed, then we are healed now. We're not going to get it in the future. We're not going to get anything that we already have. All right. The New Living Translation of Hebrews 11:1 says it this way: faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It's the evidence of things we cannot see. Faith is our evidence. It's the only evidence we need. We don't have to wait for the evidence. We don't have to, you know, people say, "Well, I believe it when I see it." No, you have it before you see it. That's faith. That's faith according to the dictionary, yourdictionary.com or Webster's New World Dictionary. Faith is an unquestioning belief without any proof or evidence, which lines way up with Hebrews 11:1. So what does unquestioning belief mean? I mean, you never question, because if you already have something, why would you question whether you have it or not? All right? You know, if you ever ask God, "God, when's it going to happen?" That's a question. That's not faith. If you ever ask God, "God, how come that hasn't happened?" That's a question. That's not faith. Quit questioning God. Amen. Quit questioning, because faith, the definition of faith is there is no question. You already have it. It's already been given to you. It already belongs to you. That's the whole reason we're fixing to have our communion service, to think about what Jesus Christ already did for us 2,000 years ago on Calvary. And by his stripes, we were healed. Because he died on their cross, because he shed his blood, our sins have been forgiven. We have been redeemed, and we stamped our ticket to heaven. But not just we got our ticket to heaven, we have so many benefits that God gave us. You know, the Old Testament says, "Forget not all his benefits." Well, there's so many benefits that we have, but we receive each and every benefit that God gives us, we receive through using our faith. It's the same faith that saves us, is the same faith that heals us, is the same faith for finances, or the same faith for whatever we do. But you know what? We have to use our faith. Then we looked last week to the keynote scripture of this ministry, Mark chapter 11, verses 22 through 24. It says this: "So Jesus answered and said to them, 'Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them.'" Now, obviously, you know, anyone knows anything about this ministry understands that it was those scriptures that my grandfather got a hold of that took him off the deathbed. And if more people would get a hold of more scriptures, we would see more healings. We would see more miracles. We would see more of a transformation. But see, it took him reading those scriptures on faith and understanding those scriptures on faith. And he went from dying to living. I mean, you know, and see, a lot of people say, well, Craig, I don't understand it. A lot of people here have been in church a long time. When my grandfather got a hold of those scriptures, he didn't know a whole lot. You know, it's really hard to think about that because you think about Brother Hagin, the minister, not Brother Hagin, the 16-year-old boy that's only gone to church a few times, and, you know, and he really probably didn't get a whole lot of out of it. You know, just a lot of, in fact, he said a lot of times he would go to Sunday school class but never stay for the hear of the preacher. Except for Christmas and Easter or something like that. And then when he brought the preacher to come, the Baptist minister to come explain the scriptures to him, the minister took him by the hand and said, be patient, my boy, in a few days it'll all be over, and begin to plan his funeral. I mean, what kind of hope does a pastor do when he does that? He's planning the guy's funeral when he's still laying there alive. He needs to retire, I guess, or whatever. Of course, I'm sure he's passed away a long time ago from now. But you know, my grandfather says he, for 3 days, he waited to die, never died. So he went back to the scriptures. Thank God he continued to read the word, because you know what? I wouldn't be here. You know, and some of you wouldn't be here either. You know, but... we read, actually Mark 11:22. Like I said, if I sign your Bible, I'm gonna put Mark 11:22, not John 10:10. Most people say, well, John 10:10 is Craig's favorite scripture because I read it all the time. But Mark 11:22 is the scripture that my keynote scripture in life. It says, have faith in God, because you know what? If you can't have faith in God, who are you gonna have faith in? But I will say that although my grandfather would talk about that scripture a lot, but it was kind of, for him, it was kind of a no-duh thing. Your faith is in God. But in the 21st century, we have to understand that when you're speaking to your mountain and you're doing all these things, you first of all have to put your faith and your trust in God, because it's not you doing anything. It's you putting your reliance on him. It's he's the one that's doing the work. All you're doing is the saying, believing, and having part. And I think that's important, that our faith has to be in God. And a lot of people, I think it's the Weymouth translation that translates this, the God kind of faith. And we said the God kind of faith is the kind of faith that God had in Genesis 1:1, when the earth was null and void. I mean, there was nothing, here. And God said, let there be light. And after he fasted and prayed for 40 days and 40 nights, the lights came on. Obviously, that didn't happen that way. That only happens to you guys, because of some modern day preacher, God said, let there be light. And then once he gave $1,000 faith offering to himself, the lights came on. No, God didn't do that. Then God didn't. In fact, it doesn't say here that God prayed. It doesn't say that he fasted. It doesn't say he gave. Now, it's good to pray, fast, and give. But God said, let there be light, and there was light. That's the God kind of faith. Why? Because he said it. He said it with his mouth, believed in his heart, and he had what he said. And that's what Jesus is trying to explain to us in Mark 11. And I said this last week too. I believe that he used such an outlandish example because, obviously it's physically impossible for a mountain to completely move from, be uprooted from where it's at and being thrown into the sea. I don't know how far the sea was from the mountain or whatever. Maybe it was right next to it, and form a new island or whatever. That's physically impossible. I mean, it sounds outlandish. But Jesus said you could do it. Actually says he would do it. All you got to do is believe. All right. But the point is, I think he's showing that, outlandish example for us to know that there is nothing you cannot believe for. Basically, it's a kind of another way of saying You can believe for the impossible without saying believe God for the impossible, because it's pretty much impossible. Now, we talked about too last week, is that right here it says that whoever says to this mountain, I think it's very important to use the word whoever, or the King James says whosoever. The reason being is because some people have said that these scriptures are only for the disciples. Well, there's more whosoever's than a disciple. All right, whoever means whoever gets a hold of this scripture and uses this scripture. Then we said that here it talks about saying a whole lot. It says that whoever says to this mountain, so that's one time you're saying, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes, there's one belief, that those things he says will be done. He will have whatever he says. There's another says right there. Therefore, I say to you, it says, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. So three times you're supposed to say, one time you believe. It's real important to have. You're going to have what you say each and every time. So what are you saying? If you don't like what you're having, you need to examine what you're saying, because what you're saying is going to affect what you're having. And we gave an example that when you say something, if you use the phrase, and I like it that way after you say it, then you can determine whether that's you really like it that way or not. If you say something like, I never can afford that, and I like it that way, then you're going to have it that way. If you're going to say that my family's always getting sick, and I like it that way, then that's what you're going to continue to have. You know, a lot of times we say a lot of things that we don't want, but we continually say them over and over again. And I gave an example where I used to, it was like all day long, I'm tired, I'm tired, I'm tired. And, you know, the more I said it, the more tired I got. So I quit saying I'm tired, because even though maybe I chronologically didn't get as much sleep as I probably should have, and I can blame my mom for that one, because she didn't teach me to sleep. When I was a kid, we didn't have bedtimes. My mom sleeps 4 hours a night, or whatever she sleeps, if she does sleep, I'm not sure. And unfortunately, some people take after their mom, some people take after dad. I took after my mom in that area. I have trouble going to sleep at nighttime. Now, I'm not the most happy person in the morning either, all right? So, that's, and I like it that way. No. Okay, maybe no one else liked it that way, but see, right there. We all do it. We all say things, and it's just being human nature. And sometimes we don't get it, but sometimes, it takes a long time before we actually put the phrase, and I like it that way. But once we start doing that, once we get in the habit of saying that, we quit saying it. Now, I don't want you to condemn yourself, okay? But here's the thing. There's one thing for the devil to put the thought in your mind, and another thing for it to come out your mouth. And I think that's where Paul comes down to casting down imaginations. The thought would come to his mind, but he wouldn't say it. Or that's whenever, he talks about renewing your mind. All right? And then I want to say this. Maybe you do say something, you don't like it that way, but as soon as you realize that you should be saying, no, I don't mean that anymore. Just like the best example I can use with my grandfather, we were sitting at the Hyatt Hotel and on a Thursday. I'm not sure what day it was. I think it was a Saturday, by the way. If you're, Brother Hagin used to always talk about certain things. I noticed a lot of things always happen on Thursday. That's why I said Thursday. But, if I had to guess, I'm going to guess Thursday. But I believe it was a Saturday because we used sort of our meetings on Sunday. We were at the Hyatt Hotel right next to the Hoosier Dome at the time, the Hoosier Convention Center. My grandmother did not go on this meeting because she was dealing with some physical ailments. And my grandfather and myself, and I was eating soup. I remember this. It was tomato soup, if you want to know, want to get in detail. And because I don't remember a lot of things, but this was a moment. It was, it was one of those teachable moments. Number two, it was something that very unusual for me because we were there and I was eating tomato soup. We just got our soup, and my grandfather looked at me and he used these words. He says, Craig, I'm worried about your grandmother. Now, I never heard my grandfather use the word worry in one day in my entire life, because he's someone who doesn't worry. And it's, in fact, I almost spit my soup out when I looked at him when he said that, like, you know. But as soon as he used that word, he said, no, I'm not worried, but I am concerned. And that's a teachable moment that, you know what, at some point in time, we all sometimes say things that we shouldn't say, but as soon as it comes out of our mouth, we should correct it immediately. No, I'm not worried, because the Bible says not to worry, to cast our cares upon the Lord, for he cares for us. But we can be concerned. We can take precautions and different things like that, but he's not going to worry about it. But basically, he went on to say about my grandmother going through her thing, says she has to get it with her own faith, and I know that. And things like that, and you know, she was in a faith battle. Like, we've all been there before. You know, amen? So, you know, it's important. What are you saying? But you also do have to believe, all right? I mean, I'm not going to say you don't have to believe. It says, say, you know, three times, but also it says, what do you believe? It says that that does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things it says he will have. So you don't have, you know, why should you doubt in your heart anyway? God's the one taking care of the situation. All right. Now, Mark 11:24 says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Now, it says you're going to receive them when you ask, because you believe you're going to receive them and you're going to have them, and you have when you ask. And we talked about, you know, having an oh, what a feeling, like Toyota commercial that used to be, that whenever you ask and pray, that's when you should get excited, because that's when you have it. Now, you don't see it, but you have it by faith, according to Hebrews 11:1. Now, I want to read, I was going to say the King James Version, but I want to read the Craig James Version today, Mark 11:24. You say, what's the Craig James Version? Well, that's the King James Version with a couple of changing the ye's to you, because you don't say ye anymore, a couple of things, you know. But I like the King James Version here. It says this, therefore I say to you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. So what is the difference? The difference is, in the King James, it uses the word desire instead of the word want. And I like the word desire, because I believe that the word desire, you know, when we desire something, it's more than wanting something, because I've seen people desire something and they're willing to do whatever it takes to get that. You know, doing youth ministry, I have watched some of the most laziest young men that would hardly do any kind of work, that when the newest Air Jordan shoe or whatever, you know, came out, they would be mowing lawns. They would knock on their neighbor's door. Hey, can I pick weeds? Can I move anything around? Can I do this? I mean, I'm talking about the kids that they don't want to work, but when it came to, they desired these shoes and they didn't find any other way, they were going to find a way to get the money to buy these shoes, because probably their parents already told them no, you know, so they figured, well, I'm going to have to work for it, you know. And, you know, but I've seen people that, and we see it in the sports world all the time, you know, they desired that more. You know, there's on paper sometimes that there are teams that shouldn't win, but they had a greater desire. Now, when you desire something, you think about it all the time. You think about it all the time. Because now, when it comes to believing God for healing, it's usually easier to think about it all the time, especially if you're hurting. If you're actually hurting somewhere or whatever, if your arm hurts, the every time you move your arm, you're going to think about it a lot. Yeah. All right? But I found that when it comes to finances, people don't always think about it a lot. They might think about it every time they open their bank statement. Yeah. All right? But a lot of times, too, people have the mentality, and I say it all the time, that if God can meet 75% of their needs, they'd be happy with that. But we serve the God of the overflow according to the Bible. All right? But a lot of people don't expect God to meet 100% of our needs, or 110% or whatever. We're at that 75% mark. Now, we'd like to have that, but we don't desire that. And so when we desire something, we keep saying it over and over and over and over and over again. I mean, you know, if something's my faith project, I mean, I'm saying it all the time. If it's some kind of thing I can, you know, want or whatever, and I'll put a picture on my screensaver on my phone and my iPad or my computer or whatever, because I want to remind myself. I mean, you know, back in the day, one time when Ben got for a car, I took the ad out of Motor Trend magazine and put it on my mirror in my room. You know, because we had dumb phones back then. I don't even know, we might not even had phones back then. There was cell phones, but most people probably didn't carry one. You know, but you're going to think about it all the time. Now, in our family, every time we pray, I don't care if you pray for your food, if you're praying, you're praying in the morning time, you're praying at night time, you know, before you go to bed, there are certain things we speak out all the time. Why? Because, you know, we can have what we say. You know, and in my own opinion, if you're not speaking about it all the time, you probably don't desire it. You probably, you know, now you'd like to have it. You know, there's a lot of things we'd like to have, but, and I said this last week, you know, sometimes when it comes down to, you have to decide, I'm going to believe God for that. You know, and once you flip that switch, you know, it's that way. Once you start believing God for it, then, you know, and here's the thing. You know, God's going to bring it to pass. And if you don't expect him to bring it to pass, then you have doubt in your heart. All right. Now, I'm trying to figure if I wanted, what scripture I want to do for, I guess, okay. We're going to go to the Old Testament, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And I like to read this a lot. And it says this, I'm going to go ahead and start. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. So number one, you got to give God 110% of everything you got. So I trust the Lord with all my heart. I trust him with whatever my need is. I trust that he's taking care of it. Now, the verse I really want to look at is the verse that says, lean not your own understanding, because that's the verse that slips us up in faith all the time. What do you mean? Because we're trying to understand how God's going to do it. And while we're trying to understand, we're actually doubting whether it's going to be done or not. Because to us, it might not be impossible, but it looks improbable. And so our mind's thinking, how's that going to work? And that's when we usually try to help God and tell God, well, God, if you do this, if you do that, if we kind of do, you know, work together or whatever, maybe we can get it done. But God doesn't need your help. All right. And it all comes down to, and I say this all the time, I blame the math teachers. It's their fault. And the reason is because a math teacher told you, you have to show your work. Because the math teacher understood that there were a lot of answers to the maybe the odd questions or whatever in the back of the book. And then the answer was there. And so you definitely could write the answer down, X equals 5. But that wasn't good enough. You had to show your work because they have to understand. You know, the math teacher wants to know, you make sure you understand how come X equals 5. Well, when it comes to Christianity, you don't have to show your work. You just have to point to the answer. Now, you obviously know that because if you grew up in church, you sing the song, Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him, there is no other. Jesus is the way. So Jesus is your answer. You don't have to show the work. So you're done. You're done. X equals 5. That's all that matters. You're like, but how did you get there? How did you solve that equation? I didn't. I lean not to my own understanding. I just believe X equals 5 because that's what I was told. That was the answer. Is that not correct, sir? Well, yes, that's correct. But how'd you do it? I didn't. I lean not to my own understanding. X equals 5. Is that correct? Yes, it's correct. Then why are you asking me if it's correct or not? See, you know, I know you didn't do it as a math teacher, but you have to do that with the devil. Because the devil's going to say, okay, you show me how God's going to work it out. And that's where he confuses you because he tries to get you, you know, and then you're trying to run your wheels and try to figure out. Here's the thing. If you're going to figure it out, you would never ask God for it. If you're going to figure it out, you wouldn't need faith because you would have done it. You would have used your own ability, whatever resources you had, to make it happen. And you know what? Unfortunately, a lot of times, we don't even have to use our own ability, but we do, but because we wait till the very last minute when we've tried every way to do it ourselves, to finally say, okay, I give up. God, here's my need. But you know what? If you would have said, God, here's my need earlier, it would have been a whole lot easier for you. You wouldn't have had to worry for a month and a half trying to figure out and trying to do this and trying to do that and, you know, make ends meet and all that kind of stuff. You know, just believe. It's just that simple. Now, I'm going to go to a scripture that a lot of people don't preach faith from, but it really has a lot to do with faith. And that's James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse number 2, and I'm going to read from the New Living. It says this: Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. New King James says, count it all joy. And, you know, I know that my grandfather would always say, you know, when situations come, he would just say, it's another opportunity to believe God and so how good God is. You know, and, you know, when it says, consider an opportunity for great joy, you might as well be happy about it because, you know, I have two choices, be happy or cry, all right? Or be depressed or whatever. But it's really hard to be depressed when the greater one's on the inside. Now, so you can either count, you know, it doesn't say it's going to be joyful. You're going to have to act happy whenever, you know, that, you know. There's a song, Christian song, Don't Worry, Be Happy. That's a real Christian. That's not a Christian song. Well, it is too. I think that's, it winds up with the word, don't worry, be happy. Those sounds like words Jesus would say. At least Craig would say them. You know, don't worry, be happy. That's what James 1, 2. Well, yeah, but I have this. It doesn't matter what you have. In fact, you need to get rid of what you have and give it to God, cast your care upon him, and then you don't have that anymore, and you can be happy. Because I found out when you're not joyful, that's when worry and doubt come in. As long as you're joyful, you're probably not worried, and you're probably not in doubt, you're probably not, you know, concerned about it, because, you know, it's going to be okay. Now, it goes on to say, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Now, I believe that that's there saying, hey, you know what? Once you believe God for something, you get it. Then you understand how to do it. Next time, it's a lot easier because you have a testimony. You've already seen it happen before in your life, and you proved it. All right. But then it says right here, it says, if you need wisdom, and I'm going to say this, if you need anything, James here talks about wisdom maybe because he was preaching to dumb people, and so he knew that they needed wisdom. But maybe you don't need wisdom, but you need something else. You know, really, this works in whatever you need from God, but the Bible says, if you need wisdom, and I like this, it says, ask our generous God. He's a generous God, and, you know, he's willing, able, and wants to give it to you. And he says, and ask your generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. And I think that's important because there's a lot of times, and sometimes us fathers even chastise our kids because they ask. Or sometimes maybe your boss will chastise you. You know, but God's not going to rebuke you for asking. He's saying, you come and ask me. Ask what you will and it shall be done. Jesus says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. You know, you have not because you ask not. But so if we desire anything, all we got to do is ask. It's not that hard. Here's the other side about it is when we ask, we're asking in faith and he's not going to say no. It goes on to say, this is where I want to get to. It says, but when you ask him, be sure your faith is in God alone. You know, put your trust in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that's blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the Word, and they are unstable in everything they do. So what it says is, if you're what Craig calls a seesaw Christian with seesaw faith, it says, you know, what does that mean? Everyone know what a seesaw is? One person one side, and he goes back and forth, up and down, up and down. And so that's what sometimes we do with our faith. Now, see, faith by definition is unquestioning belief without any proof or evidence. But what happens is we stand in faith one day, And then a couple of days later, we kind of get out, we start questioning. All right, and we get out of faith, and so we go up and we down, up and we down. And James is telling us, if that's what we are, then we shouldn't expect to receive anything from the Lord. Unfortunately, when people say, you know what, brother, you need to stand on a scripture. Unfortunately, that a lot of people are standing on the scripture that you shouldn't expect to receive anything from the Lord because you are unstable in all your ways. That scripture, you say, well, I'm not really standing on. Well, that's why you're acting. Actions speak louder than words. So if you're up and down, that's the reason you're not receiving anything. Now, you know, when people say, well, you know, divided loyalty, you know, they say the ways of this world, and they're like, well, I'm not down with the devil or anything like that. But see, it's not about that. It's your worldly thinking compared to godly thinking. What does your mind say? What are you thinking on? All right. Now, I'm not saying it's bad, but the ways of the world, we don't think the impossible can happen. But, you know, us Christians, we're like, yeah, you know, if you believe, we can receive. It's not that hard. That's what the Bible says. Now, so you got to decide, you know what? I'm giving this to God. I'm not worried about it. I'm, you know, it's going to happen. So I'm just going to get off the seesaw. You know, I'm going to go ride a different playground toy or something like that. Go get in the swing, you know, or maybe the hammock so you can just take a nap. So, you know, unfortunately, I was somewhere, and this was when I was a little bigger than I am now, and I laid down in somebody's hammock and it crashed to the ground. So make sure the hammock will support the weight that you are before you lay down. So note to self. For someone who, God, it not only hurts your feelings, you get your feelings hurt, then you feel stupid because you're hoping nobody saw that hammock that was when falling down to the ground. So then I went and found the chair. I didn't break the chair anyway, so. But, you know, just trust in the Lord. Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your understanding. I guess I'll finish it off with this because we've got communion time. It says this, Mark 9:23. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. You know, if you believe, all things are possible. If you don't believe, they're not possible. It's according to your faith. In fact, I said I'm going to leave off of that. I'm going to read one more scripture. Matthew 9:27 gives us a great story. And I believe that Jesus, you know, the Bible says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. I think this is what the mentality is. Matthew 9:27 says this. When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he come into the house, the blind man came to him. So these blind guys came right into the house. Jesus went to this house. For whatever reason, Jesus didn't stop when he heard them crying out, but they went to the house after Jesus and came to Jesus, which I'm like, these guys actually went to the door of someone's house they don't know, and they didn't care. But then I thought, I was thinking about it. They had a great excuse. I'm blind. I didn't see the door. So, you know, I guess that's a whole other thing. And he says, so he came to, it says, the blind man came to him, and Jesus said to him, do you believe I'm able to do this? They said to him, yes, Lord. So Jesus asked him, do you believe I'm able to do it? And they said, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be to you. Now, notice he didn't say be healed. In this situation, he didn't say be healed. He did touch your eyes, and he says, according to your faith, let it be to you. Now, which means if they had faith, they were going to receive their sight. If they didn't have faith, they weren't going to see. All right? So, theoretically, one could have got it, one might not have got it. In this instance, they both got it, or maybe neither one of them got it. But it was according to their faith, be it done to you. And that's the same thing. According to your faith, you're going to have it. What do you believe? Do you believe or do you not believe? That's the Shakespeare gospel. All right? To believe or not to believe, that is the question. And that's really what it is. But our faith is in God. I mean, we're believing in God. All right, so when we're speaking like God speaks, like God said, when let there be light, there was light. So I believe that's where we are at today. You know, according to your faith, be it done unto you. What happened to them? Their eyes were open, and then Jesus certainly warned them, saying, see that no one knows it. I don't know why he said that, but it doesn't really matter. That's not the big point. The point is, just believe. Amen. Just believe. Now, here's the thing. It's real easy when you believe and get an instant healing. What's not easy is when you come down, you don't get healed instantly, and it doesn't seem like you're healed. And that's when you have to use your faith. You know, Brother Hagin, you say, keep the switch of faith turned on. You know, the next morning you wake up, you don't feel any different. You say, thank you, Father, that last night with hands were laid upon me, the healing power of God is working in my body. Or the same thing, if it's a financial situation, I prayed last night, whatever we were, I was going through the situation, I gave it to you. We thank you, Father, it's done now in the name of Jesus. See, and you know, it's done. I say, just believe, drop the mic, it's done. There's no more. There's no way. It's kind of like, you know, we're fixed to take communion. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, his last words was, it is finished. That meant that he was really meaning his work on the earth was finished, and then it was good. He went down to defeat the devil, and his right hand was the side of the Father. I mean, but, you know, whenever you give it to him, it's finished. Your work is done. Now it's up to him. All you got to do is believe. You know, get off the seesaw. Just believe. Don't doubt. Don't worry about it. It's going to be okay. You're going to make it, you know, and if God can't take care of it, you're in trouble anyway. And God, you know, remember, this is a generous God we're talking about. The one that gives wisdom to the dumb people. See, you know, first of all, they were dumb, then they put the wise in front of it and they get wisdom. All right, so, and if you really need help, we have a book out there called Don't Be Stupid. It'll help you and all your dumb friends. Amen. On that note, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We praise you. We magnify your name. We thank you, Father, for each and every person that's here, each and every person that's watching online. We thank you, Father, that when they're going through any kind of situation, we thank you to help them have the faith of God that they've you know, just be able to believe no matter what. No matter what the devil says, no matter what he's trying to do, no matter what he's telling them, we thank you, Father, that they'll have a strong faith and that they'll believe. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God.